Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin with me, Tan Jung Han, and on the line we have Stephen Innes, Head of Trading in Asia Pacific from Oanda in Singapore.
Good morning, Stephen. So we had that G20 summit wrapping up over the weekend. What was your biggest takeaway from it?
Yes, good morning, Han. The G20 headlines have had very little impact on the foreign currency markets this morning. I think the overall language reads one of familiarity. But, you know, there is the great divide between the G19 nations and the U.S., which is focused around climate control and trade. And by all appearances, it looks like President Trump had won some minor concessions on steel concerns, which was one of the big issues he had going into the meeting, basically surrounding the unfair steel dumping practices that are hurting U.S. jobs. We're just waiting to see how the final details of this these concessions come out. But by all appearances, the markets are taking this in stride. As far as the risk sentiment in the region goes with regards to North Korea, there was an aggressive warning again issued by the three main leaders that are running up against North Korea right now, Russia, China, and the U.S., and that seems to be helping risk sentiment a little bit in the region today. But I think this is going to play out a little bit longer, so we're going to have to wait to see how this resolves. But by all accounts, markets are trading right on top of Friday's close, suggesting that the G20 was has going to have little impact on current market sentiment.
But given that we have this scenario of a G19 plus the US, as you described it, like where to from here when it comes to, say, that global stability that is desperately needed in order to sustain this economic recovery?
Yeah, I think one of the big issues is dealing around protectionism. And by all accounts, although the U.S. had taken an anti-globalization stance, I think the rhetoric is taming down quite a bit. I think the global growth narrative is going to continue, and I think the U.S. are starting to see the value of having trade partners. I think they're looking at the more extreme trade sanctions, not necessarily a global painting the globe with one brush here. I think they're looking for these isolated pockets of issues that they have and going after these specific areas. So I think overall, I think it's business as normal for the global trade coming out of G20.
Got it. Now, also this past Friday, we had June's non-farm payrolls report. A better than expected 222,000 jobs were added, but wage growth still not there. So will it only be a matter of time before the Fed's long-suffering approach on inflation, before that approach gets vindicated?
Yeah, there was a real uptick in the volatility on that number, where obviously the markets were focused on the hourly wage component, which came up below expectations. So we saw an immediate sell-off in the U.S. dollar, but it was quickly retraced given the fact that the stronger jobs, positive revisions, and the higher participation rate on the data suggests that the U.S. economy is actually doing quite good. My view is this allows the Feds a little bit more time, or it buys them a little bit more time to wait for inflation signals to pick up before hiking rates. It sort of supports the view that that we've been running, that we're not going to see a rate hike in September, but rather we're going to see suggestions along the balance sheet taper in September, and this supports our view that we will still see a U.S. rate hike in December. But, you know, overall, we're seeing this decoupling between wages and the employment data. And I suspect now, since we're getting no joy on the NFP reports as far as giving us any type of inflation signal, I think the market's going to pivot more towards the CPI as a more meaningful news report rather than the NFP data going through the second half of 2017. So I see a real pivot from NFP to CPI in the U.S. being one of our main hotspots for for dollar risk going forward.
And that's a great point, because we've got CPI data for June out of the U.S. coming at on July 14th at 8:30 p.m. Malaysian time. So we'll certainly be keeping an eye on that indicator, given that pivot that you spoke about. Now, also looking ahead to this week, though, we've got Fed Chair Janet Yellen testifying before both the House and Senate. What do you want to hear most from her?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, I think we're she's going to remain the status quo. I think the hawkish rhetoric that the Fed members have been coming out with of late, I think this is preparing the market for rate hikes towards the end of 2017. So I don't really see any shift in that sentiment. I continue to expect them to look through the weaker patch in Q1 and Q2, and I think it's being supported. We're starting to see U.S. economic data pick up, which plays into this current Fed narrative. However, the market is definitely positioning itself for the data, and less so for the hawkish rhetoric that's coming out of the U.S. So I'm not looking for her, unless she says something really different, I'm not looking for her testimony to make any significant impact while the market's clearly on a data-dependent tangent. So I think it's, as we talked about, I think the next hot spot for the U.S. dollar is going to be the CPI report this week.
So could we find ourselves in a position whereby the markets are more data-dependent as opposed to the Fed?
Interesting point. I mean, how much more data dependent can the markets be? But I very much think so, because we've seen a shift in some of the FOMC comments of late that they're actually concerned about elevated asset prices in the market, and this leads to me that, you know, along with the data dependence that they've always been known for, I think their concern about these overinflated asset bubbles are equally of a concern, and this also could lead to a repricing in the Fed curve if they start to aggressively follow that tangent. That's one of the outside horses that I'm betting on right now, that I'm concentrating on. I'm constantly watching how they're going to address these elevated asset prices. And if they do move away from this data dependence, I think this will shift expectations along the Fed curve and actually provide an underpin for the U.S. dollar.
Now, also looking ahead to this week, here in Malaysia, Bank Negara is set to decide on the benchmark interest rate. That decision due on Thursday, July 13th. Now, given the global chorus, or the global tightening chorus by major central banks around the world, how do you think that might influence the monetary policy bias of emerging economies like Malaysia?
Well, it's quite interesting because, you know, given this mini taper tantrum that we've seen large parts of the emerging market work themselves into a bit of a frenzy. However, over in the Asia, response has been quite measured. I think one thing that I look at is that the euro rate hike scenario is less impactful to regional currencies and to regional sentiment, given that that has a natural tendency to weigh down the dollar across the board, which I think is ultimately supportive for local currencies. However, I also believe that that the BNM themselves are probably looking at this and suggesting that, okay, well, we're the easing cycle is definitely over, and I think what we're going to start doing now is they're going to start addressing when the time is to start hiking rates. I don't think the time is right currently right now, but I think with the Malaysian ringgit sort of stabilizing that we've seen over the last few months, I think it also offers them a little bit more time, even with global rates going up, to sort of sit on the sidelines here and make sure that the economy is actually coming back to a log normal position. So they've really bought themselves some time by the moves on the currency. So I think they're in a pretty decent spot. We'll have to go through the election, you know, and see how that boils down. But I definitely suggest, or definitely suspect, given the strengthening in the economy, that the Bank Negara will be moving towards a rate hike cycle, perhaps towards the end of the year or early 2018. But it's too early at this stage.
Thank you very much. That was Stephen Innes, head of trading in the Asia Pacific at Awanda in Singapore. We'll be back with more business news after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.